blessing. All right, there's a lot of blessings that Jesus gives in this passage, and there's a lot of encouragement, and also some things to think through. And the English phrase that comes to mind is a blessing in disguise. When you read through the first 10, 11, 12 verses of Matthew chapter 5, really what you come away with is some blessings that really most people would not find appealing. And Jesus commends these certain type of people. By the world standard, would not be something that these people would be striving for, these character traits. And Jesus calls those people blessed people. He calls hungry and thirsty people blessed. He calls humble people blessed. He calls those who are mourning blessed. And so in Matthew chapter 5, verse 10, let's go ahead and read that verse. This is where we'll start tonight. Matthew 5, verse 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. And already I'm thinking blessing in disguise. Blessing equals persecution. That doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense to us, and especially doesn't make sense to the world. Let's read the rest of the verse. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Father, we come to you, and I just pray that you'd quiet my mind. There's many things going on in my head that is making it hard for me to concentrate. I pray the same for all that are here tonight, that your word would speak, that we not allow distractions to cloud our thoughts, our minds, but that, Lord, you would speak to us, that you'd help us to be receptive to it. Just help us to understand. This is a passage that is hard to understand, but Father, we thank you that you've given it to us, that you've given us so much instruction. I pray that you'd edify us tonight, you'd build us up, you'd help us to encourage one another, but also you'd convict where that is necessary. In Christ's name, amen. So according to ABC, there was a poll done about July last year. And in America, 83% of people inside the U.S. claim to be Christians. 83%. And to me, I'm like, wow, that's really high. Now, there's a lot of different denominations that are wrapped up into this. But a lot of people claim to know Christ. But what can we really expect if we truly follow Jesus Christ? What can we come to understand? And if we truly are, as the title Christian means, little Christs, what can we come to expect? Now, I'm going to give you a warning. That blank on your handout is a typo. That's left over from last week. So that next blank, you can cross that out. You don't have to know that one right before the word peace. Ignore it. It's a typo. But also last year, in 2016, who can guess worldwide? Anybody have a ballpark number of people you think that were killed for naming the name of Christ? Josiah? In the world, it was 90,000 people. Fox News did a report, they did a study, and 90,000 people around the globe died for the name of Jesus Christ. And if you do the math, that's one person in every 6 minutes. So there are people out there that are being persecuted for naming the name of Jesus Christ. And over the last few months in the Beatitudes, we've seen Jesus commend those who are humble, those who repent over sin, those who are gentle, those who are hungry and thirsty for God, those who are merciful, pure, those who are purposefully making peace. And again, these are not character traits that the world views well. How does the world view those things? Many times the world will say, you know, people like that, they're weak. But Jesus, on the opposite hand, says, you know what, people that have those character traits, they're blessed. They're happy. He commends them. He gives all kinds of encouragement to those who have those character traits. So Jesus says we'll be blessed, but as he wraps up this list of blessed people, we need to understand something. A true follower of Jesus should expect opposition. If you're a true follower of Jesus Christ, you should expect that opposition is going to come. And so if you came here for an encouraging message, this one's probably not going to be it. But as we work through the Beatitudes, this is what Jesus says. And there really is a dividing line. Society rejected Jesus. And society for us as believers will reject us if we are truly following after Jesus Christ. If we live the life that he tells us to live, if we obey him. And notice that Jesus is not just talking about persecution in general. He's not just saying, hey, people are going to be mean to you, right? He said, it is for righteousness' sake. So you are blessed if you have someone who persecutes you because you do the right thing. Someone who opposes you because you have chased and followed after Christ. He says, you will be blessed if this happens to you. And he's talking about persecution for righteousness' sake, from living like him. And guys, it really boils down to how do people respond to Jesus Christ? So let's first of all consider a believer's response to Jesus. How should we respond? What does the Bible say? Take your Bibles and turn over to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, is a passage that, it's a parallel passage to John 6 that we've been looking at in Sunday school. It's right after Jesus fed the 5,000, and there's been a lot of motivational speeches given in history. I mean, these are like the moments in movies where all the music becomes very dramatic, everything slows down, and the camera pans into this guy who's giving this very motivational speech, and everything is slowing down, everything's in slow motion, the guy is spitting everywhere, and by the end of this speech, everyone is pumped up. Everyone is motivated, they are ready to go. And most of the time, these type of speeches happen in battles, or right before a sports game, right? This guy says, hey, let's go, and everybody gets pumped up, and they go out there, and the underdog in a sports movie wins the whole championship. The worst motivational speech I've ever heard was in the movie The Hobbit, The Battle of the Five Armies, right? Like, I'm expecting these dwarfs who are hidden up in their stronghold, and the king dwarf, I forget his name, but it's slowing down, the music is coming right into his face. What is it? Dorin? Thorin, all right, I don't know my sci-fi. So it's coming into his face, and I'm expecting something. Apparently, I'm still wrong. We're moving on, all right. So apparently, I'm expecting something like really, really motivational. And all of a sudden, he comes out, and he's like, come on! And I'm like, that's it? That's all you got, right? And Jesus, in Luke chapter 9, he is kind of giving a very similar speech to his disciples. And he has this motivational speech that you're expecting it to build up because he is talking to them about following him. And there's a lot of disappointing motivational speeches, but on the other hand, someone like Martin Luther King, he moved an entire nation with his I Have a Dream speech. And so in Luke 9, Jesus is giving one of these, and listen to the motivational speech in verse 23. Luke 9, verse 23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. And if you're like me, I'm like, yeah, let's go, right? Like, let's do it. That's not a very motivational speech. You're trying to get people to follow you, and that's what Jesus says. And that is the reality of discipleship, of following Jesus. He was speaking to the 12 disciples, but when the multitude that were following him for food and bread heard that this was his message, they were like, you know what? I'm out. I'm done. You know what? I didn't sign up for this. And I don't want this tragedy in my life. And again, all these things that discipleship following Jesus was hard. And they didn't want anything of it. And their spirits were being deflated. And some of you heard me say this before. I call that the Tom Brady effect. Okay? Their spirits were being deflated. And a real Christian in this passage, a real Christian denies himself. What Jesus is calling us to do to follow him is we've got to deny ourselves. And guys, when you read these verses, what is your response? Are you still all in? Are you still like, yeah, I want to follow Jesus? Yeah, I want to chase after him. Or when you read this, is it disappointing to you? Do you still want to make Jesus king of your life? Because in John chapter 6, that's what they wanted to do. But all of a sudden, this message is not what they wanted. And do you want Jesus to be king of your life, or do you want to set yourself up on the throne of your heart? Because these disciples left and they fled Jesus because they did not get what they wanted. You might say, deny myself? You know what? I don't think so. That's not for me. And that is the motivational speech that Jesus gives. And the Greek word for deny means this. It means to turn off, like a switch. I've got to turn my desires, my goals off, to be below Jesus Christ's. It means to refuse association, companionship with, to disown. It means that we have to learn to say no to ourselves. And my mom tells a story about me when I was very young. I was in a high chair. I don't remember this story, but she tells it all the time. And I was just learning how to say no and just how to say the words yes. So my mom came and she put food on my high chair, and I looked at her, and it looked disgusting to me apparently. And she tells me that I looked at her and I said, no. So of course, what do you think happened? There was punishment, there was discipline, we went to another room, I learned my lesson, I came back, she put the food back on my high chair, and I looked up at her, as she said, eat your food, and I said, no. So I did this multiple times, this happened 3 or 4 times, and so my mom tells this story that the 4th or 5th time she came back, she put me down in the high chair, she put food in front of me, and she said, eat your food. And I said, yes. I learned my lesson. I had been saying no to my mom and yes to myself several times. And guys, with that small illustration, we have got to learn to say no to ourselves. A Christian denies themselves. He says no to himself because he knows that what Jesus has to offer is so much better than anything he could obtain on his own. Do you really want to follow Jesus? Are you willing to face that opposition and persecution that comes along with following Christ? Because that's what a real Christian does. And really what Jesus is talking about here in denying ourselves is a big picture view and is a theme of your life, something that you would be able to say, you know what, yes, I say no to myself all the time. It's a pattern. I'm growing in it. I'm not perfect, but that is a pattern of my life. Or would you be on the other hand and say, you know what? I really never say no to myself. When my heart, when my flesh wants something, I go after it and I never say no. Because really what we come to understand is that saying no to ourselves is not this big one-time decision. It is a decision that has to happen moment by moment, hundreds and thousands of moments each and every day. How are you doing at saying no to yourself? Are you able to say no to yourself and deny yourself when it comes to one more hour of entertainment? Or, hey, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, your eyes are bloodshot, you got school the next day, you've got responsibility, one more episode. And then pretty soon you've watched a whole season on Netflix. Right? I've heard people in the hallway recently say, you know what, I don't think I can watch a whole season tonight. I'm like, seriously? Like, a whole season? And have you learned to say no to yourself? Are you saying no to yourself when that commercial or pop-up ad comes up and your flesh really wants to look at it? When that link comes up on the internet that your flesh is saying, yes, I want to click it, but the Holy Spirit is inside of you screaming, no, don't do it. Don't look at that. Are you able to deny yourself when those situations come up? Are you able to deny yourself and say no to yourself when it comes to hour number 4 of video games? Wasting time. And they're not always bad, but guys, 4 hours, 3 o'clock in the morning, and we're just drooling. And I've been there. I did that in high school. My eyes were bloodshot. And they're like, hey, one more game. Okay, whatever. And like, I'm half asleep. We've got to learn to say no to ourselves. Are you able to say no to yourself when you're really tempted to cut someone else down with your words? A follower of Jesus Christ denies himself. And a genuine follower of Christ will be willing and striving to deny himself. Or, on the other hand, do you say no to God and yes to your flesh over and over and over again? Because guys, a real Christian denies himself, but a real Christian also follows Jesus. And that's a big, broad term. Let's explain a little bit. What does it mean to follow Jesus? Look at Luke 9:23 again. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So what does it mean to follow Jesus? We can't physically follow him like these 12 disciples did. We must follow his direction in life. Everything Jesus was about was humbling himself, denying himself for the good of people. And we might be asking the question, you know what, why should I deny myself and die to myself for Jesus Christ? Why should I do that? Why should I be willing to face opposition? Why should I be willing to deny myself? Why should I respond to Jesus that way? Because Jesus denied himself for you. Because Jesus suffered for you. And guys, when you think about that and you meditate on that, we are so ungrateful for what God has done for you, done for us. And he's not asking you to do anything that he is not willing to do himself. Look up one verse. Verse 22, Luke 9:22. This is Jesus, and he says this, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. And guys, he must suffer many things for you. Guys, we all know that we harbor sin in our hearts. Sometimes we say no to sin, sometimes we say yes. And the Bible teaches that the penalty for that is that we have got to be cast away from the presence of God. Matthew 7, depart from me, I never knew you. In Revelation, he says that those who are liars, idolaters, and he goes through this whole list, they will be cast into the lake of fire. And guys, that is what we all earned and deserved. But Jesus came, Hebrews 9, and it says that he suffered once for sinners. And Jesus is prophesying in this verse of his coming death. He knew that this was going to happen, and he was willing to do it. Jesus suffered in your place, the just for the unjust. He absorbed all of that. And guys, he wants to give you forgiveness. He died on the cross. He took the punishment. And all he does is that you respond in faith. And guys, he did not stay dead. He rose again. And we have hope for a new life because Jesus is alive. And we have got to respond to that. And why are we not willing to suffer for Jesus Christ when he suffered so much for us? So guys, what does it mean to follow Jesus Christ? I love being a dad. You guys know that. I talk about my kids all the time. It's awesome. I love coming home. I love, like, they're at the top of the steps looking through, the prison door of our gate. And like, Daddy, you're home. And like, I love that. It's awesome. And like, for the next hour after I'm home, they follow me all over the house. They follow me to the garage. They follow me to the office. They follow me my room. They follow me to the bathroom. And like, guys, that's where I draw the line, okay? Like, they physically follow me. But more than that, if I was to put on a hat, a baseball hat, Colton wants to put on a hat. If I mow the lawn, Colton wants to get out his toy lawnmower and mow the lawn with me. He wants to copy me. He wants to follow me. If you were to ask him, what's your favorite superhero? He would say, Superman. You ask him why, and he says, because that's Daddy's favorite. And he likes to be with my wife. He looks up to me for some reason. I don't know why. But Jessica asked him a few months ago, what do you want to do when you grow up? He said, you know what? I want to work at my church, and I want to teach teens. And I was like, you know what? That would be awesome for one thing, because I love doing this. I love working with you guys. I'd love for my kids to do that. But even for the sake of this illustration, he is following me because he wants to be like me. He wants to head in the same direction of life as I do. And he's going to grow up and realize that I'm not as cool as he thinks I am, right? And eventually, he's not going to want to be just like me, but he's copying me. And at this point in his life, he wants to head the same direction as his daddy. That's a huge responsibility, but is your life headed in the same direction as Jesus's? He humbled himself and became obedient to death. He made himself a servant. Have you made yourself a servant? Have you consciously decided to follow Christ? Because a real Christian does not view Jesus as a get-out-of-hell-free card. And I feel like a lot of people in the world view it that way. Hey, you know what, I asked God to forgive me one time, and you know what, I'm good. I'm just going to keep living my life how I want to, and you know what, I'm forgiven, once forgiven. And is that true repentance? No, and a lot of times people will trick themselves into thinking that they are a real believer, and they just look at Jesus as a provider of stuff. Just like John 6, Luke 9, this whole passage, they just wanted things from Jesus. A real Christian loves Christ and wants to follow him. They want to be like Jesus because they love him. They want to follow him with their life because they look up to him, because they think he is awesome. Guys, do you think that Jesus is awesome? And we use that word so flippantly, but really we ought to be in awe of what Christ has done for us. Have you thought about who he is? He died in your place. He is merciful. He's long-suffering. He's patient. He's kind. He's loving. He's gracious. He gives us gifts that we cannot understand or imagine. He gives us more than we can imagine or think. Guys, Jesus Christ is awesome. And when was the last time you thought about it like that? That you are willing to drop everything else in your life to follow after Jesus Christ and deny yourself? And guys, we ought to love him because he denied himself. That he suffered in our place and died for us. Are you that type of follower? Or when some sense of opposition comes up, you tuck tail and run. And guys, we're not part of that 90,000 people who are asked to give our lives last year for the sake of Jesus Christ. And that's not wrong. God has us here for a reason. But we will face opposition. Because really what it is it's two worldviews clashing. The worldview of the Bible versus the worldview of society, the world, culture. A true follower of Jesus should expect opposition. Why? Because how the world responds to Jesus. So a believer responds by absolutely giving everything they are to him. Have you done that? But this is what we're going to face. We don't need to look very far to see how the world responds to Jesus. Look back at verse 22, a verse we've already read. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. Jesus is prophesying his own death, and he willingly goes to it, and we see that the world persecutes Jesus. The world persecutes Jesus. And he suffered many things while he was on this earth, but also, guys, his name suffers a lot of things today, doesn't it? People mock him. Movies laugh at him. People use his name in vain. And people tear down who Jesus is so often. And guys, these people in Scripture, they crucified him. They slayed him. They killed him. And so often we want to follow Christ, but we expect the world to respond differently than us than it did to Jesus. And the world system completely opposes what Jesus taught. I'm just going to walk through the Beatitudes very quickly. Jesus says, be humble, you'll be blessed. What does the world say? Psh. I want everybody to know how great I am. Then the next Beatitude, be repentant over my sin. You know what? How about you just accept me for who I am? I'm not going to change. You've got to deal with it. That's what the world says. Be gentle? Yeah, I don't think so. If you cross me, I'm going to crush you. And that's what the world says. If you cross me, if you upset me, I'm going to punish you. And then again, the next Beatitude, I'll be satisfied by pursuing righteousness. The world will read this and be like, you know what? I'm going to be satisfied by pursuing whatever I want, whenever I want. If it feels good, I'm going to do it. Then again, Jesus says, be merciful. And maybe the world will say, you know what? I'm not going to be merciful and meet other people's needs. I'm going to look out for numero uno. I'm going to look out for myself. I'm going to take care of myself. Pursue purity? Psh, that's no fun. And guys, that's what commercials, that's what TV, that's what movie throws at us. Do not pursue purity. Pursue whatever feels good to you. What about the last one that we talked about last week? Make peace. Be a peacemaker. How about you come and make peace with me first? People are like, hey, you've got to take the first step. And then nobody is taking the first step. So the world persecutes Jesus. They oppose him, but also they reject him. They reject Jesus. The leaders rejected Jesus. And the word that's used here for rejected, it means that they regarded Jesus. And this kind of shocked me. They regarded Jesus as unworthy. They looked at him and they said, you know what? You're not good enough. You're not what I expected. I don't want to deal with the problems that are going to come with following you. And so when you go through a food line and you come to the dessert section, when you come to that table that's got plates full of like pie, cake, what is like one of the first things you're looking for? Pie? I am looking for like the biggest piece of dessert on that table, right? I mean, am I alone? Everybody else probably does that too. Like, I'm looking for the biggest piece. If it's a piece of cake, I want the piece with all the icing on top. If it's a wedding cake, I want that huge flower that tastes kind of gross after you get into it. But I want it, right? I want the biggest. I want the best. And I look at it, and in a matter of speaking, I'm like, you know what? You are worthy of my consumption, piece of cake. You're big enough. You're good enough. I want to eat you. I want to partake of you. I want to eat what's on this table. And guys, that's a very insignificant decision in our lives. But I kind of fear that that's how a lot of people decide whether or not they're going to follow Jesus. They kind of look at all the options that are out there, everything that's laid out on the table, and they're kind of looking for themselves, what do I think is the biggest, the best? What do I think is going to be the easiest? And they choose to reject Jesus Christ because they're like, you know what? That's not really worthy or good enough. The world rejects him because they don't believe that he's good enough. He doesn't have enough to offer. And they do not think that he has enough to give them. And guys, have you fallen for this lie from the devil? Satan used that lie in the garden with Adam and Eve. Hey, you know what? God is holding back from you. Have you guys ever felt that? Hey, you know what? God's holding back from you. He told you not to do this, but hey, you know what? It's really good. It feels fun. It feels good. And we start to get bitter that, hey, God might be holding something back from me. So are you sitting here tonight and you're like, you know what? My parents make me come to church. I'm just biding my time. As soon as I'm out of here, I'm done. You have not personalized your faith in Christ. You're not a real true follower of Jesus Christ. And you may be hiding that because a true follower at least has some desire. And yes, it fades and it wanes because we are sinners. But do you have an overall direction of your life that you want to follow Jesus Christ and deny yourself? Or are you just looking for the next best thing? Because a lot of people fall for that lie. Guys, do you need to become a follower of Jesus Christ tonight? To actually repent of your sin and come to him? Or do you just kind of want to hide for a couple more years until you're free? The world does not only reject Jesus, but it also responds by opposing those who do think he's worthy. It persecutes believers. Again, Matthew 5:10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So why should we be willing to endure persecution? Why should we be willing to endure opposition? Because let's face it, and it's very small in comparison to what the world is going through, but we're going to be made fun of. People are going to laugh at us. And because of the promises of Jesus, that what Jesus is offering is more than enough. And guys, he promises eternal reward. This last beatitude takes more than one verse. So we're going to read in a second. Turn back to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5 verses 11 and 12 kind of wrap up Jesus' thought on this last beatitude. And the reward that he gives people for following him is, first of all, he rewards possession of God's kingdom. For theirs is the kingdom of God. And that's a really unique phrase, because here's that blessing that's in disguise. We don't want persecution, we don't want opposition, but now God is giving a reward. He is giving a blessing. And this is the only beatitude and reward that's in present tense. All the rest of them are future tense. First beatitude, he kind of puts it in a sandwich. If you are poor in spirit, yours is the kingdom of heaven. He starts with that and he ends with that. If you're persecuted for righteousness' sake, If you are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. You own it, you possess it, it is now, you have the benefits of that, and no one can take it away from you. And guys, you have it because you've been broken about your sin, you've been poor in spirit, and you've come to follow Jesus Christ. And you've realized that he offers complete forgiveness of sin. And you realize that he is worth suffering opposition for. Because, again, he's forgiven you of everything wrong you've ever done. He's forgiven you for every time you've sinned against someone else or sinned against him, every time you've rebelled against him. And just like Adam and Eve did in the garden, he said, you know what, we don't need you. And we've done that in our hearts. And God forgives that. And a reward that he gives is heaven. He is worthy of following. And I can be willing to suffer because Jesus suffered for me. As we close, don't put away your Bibles or your notes. Another reward that, again, doesn't sound like much of a reward. It's rejection by the world. So why is that a blessing? Why are we blessed if we're persecuted and have opposition? Charles Haddon Spurgeon, he said this, "The only homage or respect which wickedness can pay to righteousness is to persecute it." Satan always attacks those who are doing right. So guys, if you're getting persecuted for your stand for Jesus Christ, it is a sign that you're actually following Christ. That you are doing what's right, that you are living a righteous life, and people hated Jesus enough to kill him. And righteousness is a mark of a true follower of Jesus Christ. Are you receiving opposition from people that you interact with just because you're taking a stand for what's right? Hey, you know what? I'm not going to talk about that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to talk about this person. Because if you're facing opposition for that, if we're truly like him, why would we expect anyone else to be in love with us? Why would we expect the world to be in love with us? We want them to respond differently to us than they did to Jesus. And Jesus' message is contrary to everything the world stands for. A true follower of Jesus should expect opposition. And guys, that's challenging. That's hard to swallow. So when you move out of youth group, when you move into the real world, guys, you got to be ready for this. The people are not going to agree with you. People may mock you. People may tear you down. Are you ready? Are you ready to face that? Because in a parallel passage to Luke chapter 9, Jesus adds on to it. He says, you've got to deny yourself, you've got to pick up your cross and follow me. If you lose your life, you'll find it. And then he says this, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world? We could allow that opposition to slow us down from following Christ and to make us go back into the world, but what shall a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Guys, God promises an eternal home for us to have eternal rest in. Don't choose the things of this world over Jesus. They'll fall short every time. He is more than enough. And even in persecution, he gives blessings. Yours is the kingdom of God. And even though you may face rejection from man, God promises eternal acceptance. Guys, man rejects, but God accepts. And you've got to think through what's going to last longer. So tonight, have you realized, you know what, maybe I'm not a true follower of Christ. Because God wants to make you his child, but maybe you're already saved. And we've got to expect opposition. And we can joyfully persevere through it because we can expect heaven. Let's, in closing, read the last two verses of Matthew 5, Beatitudes in Matthew 5. So verses 11 and 12 says this: "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." And he always puts that qualifier on there. Rejoice. That's not the response I'm looking for. As someone who wants to follow Christ, that's not what I'm looking for. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. When people revile you, you can rejoice because God's going to reward you. Persecution's coming. Opposition is coming. We've got to expect it. Are you ready? Father, we come to you and thank you for your word. Thank you for these character traits. And I just pray that these would be things that are in our minds would be goals for us. That we would seek to be humble. It's the only way we can enter into your kingdom is by humbling ourselves and confessing our sin. Help us to be gracious, to be merciful, to be peacemakers. But Lord, help us as we move forward in our lives, seeking to follow after you, that we'd be aware that opposition is coming. That you don't promise that it's going to always be easy. But Lord, we thank you that you've given us that promise to look forward to, and the assurance that if we do face opposition, then we are following you and obeying you the way that we ought to. Lord, I pray that you'd continue to work in hearts tonight, and that you would be active in our hearts with your Holy Spirit. Everyone keep your heads bowed, eyes closed. Again, if the Lord has worked in your heart tonight, first of all, for salvation, does anyone realize tonight, you know what, I'm not a true follower of Christ, I need to be saved? Just raise your hand. I won't embarrass you, I won't stretch it out. Always want to give that chance to respond because God's arms are open wide. He wants to give forgiveness. But maybe also you're here tonight and you're like, you know what, I really expect the Christian life to be easy, and God's shown me tonight that it's not. And maybe Pastor Brandon, I'm facing opposition right now. Just pray for me that I'll be faithful to God despite that. If you could just raise your hand, I'd love to pray for you as we close. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. See those two hands? Thank you. And again, that opposition is for righteousness' sake. Do what's right, and you'll be blessed. Father, I pray for those who just raised their hands. Give them grace to face opposition with courage, and again, with boldness. In Christ's name, amen. All right, guys, we are dismissed. Cool Beans will be open for about 10 minutes. I do need some help because they are putting a final coat of wax. They're putting a final coat. Why is this not working? Boom roasted.
There's that thing.
What happened to it?
I don't know. All that went out.
Chris Barfield had them. I don't know where he went.
We're going to be the summer interns.
Tim Betancourt, which is Katie's brother.
I know.
And Daniel Phelps.
Okay, so I talked with Maranatha about the reference form. They said they sent it to your CCS Indy.
I've not got